So I'm a big overthinker, and there are certain things and people in my life that cause me to overthink more. So I realized I have to cut those things out. I deleted TikTok a couple of months ago for Lent, and that was such a great experience. I had never participated in Lent before. To be honest with you, I thought it was a Catholic thing. Is that ignorant for me to think? Probably. But I go to a Baptist church. I identify as Christian. And my church was participating, so I decided to participate myself, and I thought that was a great experience. I deleted all my social media. But with TikTok specifically, I realized that my algorithm is too catered to me because I'd be getting videos of how to be a better girlfriend, how to be a better Christian, how to, God doesn't like it when you do this, you need to be doing this, you should be praying for this. You need this new product. This is good for your gut health. You need to be working out 5 days a week. That was too much. That's too much for anyone who's not an overthinker, and it's especially too much for someone who is. So I decided that I needed to let that go, but I got it back because we're habits of nature. What's the term? Nature, we're habit. I don't know. You guys know the term I'm talking about, the little phrase. Creatures of habit. We're creatures of habit. And I got it back, and I'm gonna delete it again because it's just, like I said, overwhelming. It's too much. It's not good for the overthinkers. But I realized within this, because I'm in a self-discovery season, that I need to be replacing those things with what I know is true. And what I can say for sure is true is the Bible. I know what God says about me is true. I know, well, that's pretty much all that I know is like concretely true, because I was gonna say what I know about myself is true, but it's not. Or what other people think about you, that's not either. But I just realized a whole lot of things in the midst of consuming so much and being influenced. I'm very easily influenced. I'm very easily influenced, and I'm a people pleaser. So I want to just do anything, or I'm down for anything. I'm reliable. I try to be reliable. I try to be there for others and one another. And I think that comes as an advantage at some points, but in others it doesn't. And so I'm working on that, but really, really working on that, because I realize that if I'm pleasing everybody else, then like, I'm not even pleasing myself. But in turn of being a people pleaser, it naturally makes me a God pleaser. Here we go. This is what I'm trying to get into, y'all. Like, it took me a while, but I'm here to say that I'm a God pleaser. But it's confusing because the Bible says something. Things, some things about what pleases God. Yet in my head, my human, flawed, imperfect brain, I still do things that I think please God. But God never said that I needed to read my Bible every day, or else he's not going to be pleased with me. Or I needed to only listen to gospel music and Christian worship, or else he's not going to be pleased with me. There are things that feel good to us, that feel good, that we think will just automatically please God, but it's just not the case. I just catch myself often if I fall back on anything that I think brings me closer to God, that does hurt me, and I feel like by jumping back into it, I am pleasing God. And in a sense, yeah, that's true. But I don't necessarily think it's a end all be all. Like, if you don't, he's not gonna love you anymore, because God isn't an all loving being. He's not gonna not love you anymore. But I can't get out of this cycle and this mindset that he's mad at me. God, are you mad at me? You know, like, I don't know. And I think that way for a lot of reasons. One, because I get so consumed with the world, and then I neglect to spend time with him. And then the other thing is that I worry about a lot of things. Like I said in the beginning, I'm a big worrier and overthinker. And I almost feel like, is God upset that I'm worrying about all these things of the world because God said to not do that? Like, here's the thing. What I'm currently right now, I'm worried about the state of the world. Sorry, I had to say it. I'm worried about this president that has been elected. Poof. Not by me, but y'all, yeah. The president, I'm worried about my full-time job. You guys, I started a full-time job in February. I haven't spoken to you in a while. You don't know, I started a full-time job in February. No one could have prepared me for the fatigue that follows the workday. Period. And I also work from home. A full-time job working from home goes absolutely bonkers for your first one, because I just got into the workforce, like the big 8-hour workday lifestyle, and I was just not prepared for all that, okay? And to do it from home is rough because I'm a social being. So anyway, moving on. I'm worried about my education, the future of that. I worry about my body, my weight. I worry about growing up. I'm 23 and thriving, period, but still, I do feel like I'm not as young and, okay, people in their mid to late 20s, early 30s, when they speak to me, they're like, you're so young still, you're just a little baby, whatever. I wish I felt that way. I'm going off on a little bit of a tangent, but I was hanging out with a friend yesterday, and I had said that I almost wish I was a little less self-aware. A little less, not even just self-aware, but just aware in general. I wish I was a little less aware of life because I know better and therefore I do better, which is great. I know you're thinking like, well, what's wrong with that? Like, doing better is great. Yes. And at the same time, I'm too aware to the point where I feel like I can't even make mistakes because I know better, or I want to do wrong, but I can't and won't because I know better. Sorry, that's my dog barking in the background. I don't think I'm going to be editing this that much. I kind of just want to get it out here. It's been a while. But anyway, real, it's real, authentic, and raw. That's just how it is. So, anyway, I just feel like I grew up wiser, and that's an awesome thing. Like, it's a gift. I am blessed for that. And at the same time, sometimes I wish I could just not know as much, because it can be a lot. It can just be a lot to manage. I worry about how I'm being perceived by others. I worry about eating right and working out, taking the right supplements, reading my Bible, going to church, not overindulging in food and drinks and anything else that's not good for me. Secular music. I worry about maintaining and developing healthy relationships and friendships in my life, which is a hard one. And it's a new thing for me-ish. It's not new, actually, but it is more prominent. I think I'm aware of it more now. It's difficult to make friends post-grad. I worry about discerning what thoughts are mine and which are from God or the enemy or the world. And that's huge because we have influences from all of those things. We're influenced by God. We're influenced by the enemy. We're influenced by the world. We're influenced by our own thoughts, our friends' thoughts. It's all too much. That was a lot, right? Like, that made my brain tired. I don't know if it did for you, but it does for me. And that's how I feel every day, often. It's hard for me to quiet my thoughts, quiet my mind down. It's difficult for me to do that. And I wish there was just a switch. I could just, you know, it's my brain, all the thoughts in my brain, it feels so clouded, right? and heavy. And when I get overwhelmed with all of these ruminating thoughts, I start overthinking even more. But this time I think, is God mad at me for putting everything above him? Like, am I, all those things that I shared, is he upset that I am even thinking and ruminating on all of these things? I'm putting all of those things above God, or at least prioritizing thoughts or actions over prioritizing my time with him. And that's when I think that God is mad at me. God, are you mad at me? Have I strayed so far that I forgot to check in with you? Are you still there? When I think about God, I know he's always with me and always by my side. I know he's always looking over me and around me. And he speaks to me through others. He speaks to me directly, which is a beautiful gift of discernment. But when I stray away, I think about it in the sense of a door, and I know that God's on the other side of it. I just have to open it. And that thought makes me really sad. And that's why I think that God is mad, quote unquote, because he's sitting outside the door. All I have to do is open it. All I have to do is turn the knob. And it sounds so simple, right? You see the door, it's closed. You're struggling on this other side of it. You know the answer's on the other side. All you have to do is turn the knob. But why is it so hard? Why does it seem so hard? I've been trying so hard my whole life to be the perfect daughter that I neglected the perfect son. God has said to me, child, nothing can separate you from my love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither your fears for today, nor your worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate you from my love. And while you've been worrying this whole time, I've been trying to get your attention. I've been trying to tell you that I got this. There's my dog again. He's been saying, I've been trying to tell you that I got this. I'm the one who brought you here. I'm the one who's keeping you here. I'm the one who is allowing you to ruminate on these thoughts right now because you haven't given it up. Like, I gave you free will so you can decide what you want to do in life. And I'm telling you to let go and let God, but you are so stubborn. You are so stubborn. He's saying, I didn't die on this cross for no reason. Matthew 11:30 says, my yoke is easy to bear and the burden I give you is light. Y'all, tell me why when God suddenly reminds me, suddenly, that's a key word in the Bible too that pops up often. Suddenly, you know, things happen in sudden ways. The Lord does. His works are sudden, right? Well, I mean, not all of them. Like, he takes time and you have to be patient, but it's like a long journey. And then it's suddenly the Lord appeared. And then suddenly, when God suddenly reminds me that he's in control, the rest that comes upon me, it's like, why wasn't I doing this before? The peace that I receive when I realize that, you guys, like, I just think it's so ironic too. I tell people this all the time. I have a tattoo on my ribs that says, let go, let God. I very rarely remember that it's there, right? All my tattoos, I'm like, I don't even remember I got these. But truthfully, in the world that we live in, with the distractions and the influences and the tricks of the enemy at play, I could have had this tattooed on my forehead and I probably still wouldn't remember it. That's how blind we are. And I have to remind myself that God is such a loving God and he's so kind and he's so warm. He's not mad at me. because he understands the evil that's in this world that's corrupted us. He's not mad, but he does want my attention. He wants my fellowship. He wants my communication. He wants my heart. He wants a relationship. And a relationship is two-sided. That's why he's saying, I'm not going to chase you. You can come when you want. You know, God will meet you there, wherever you are. You don't have to keep running thinking that he's not going to see you anymore. Or keep running thinking that you're too far to even come back home. You can never go so far where you can't come back. Because even if you didn't fully come back, God will just meet you where you are. I wanted to make this episode for you all and myself. Because if you're anything like me where you worry so much about your life, your future, or the things of this world, I pray this gives you some peace. Know that ultimately nothing can provide you peace like the peace the Lord provides. But this is a reminder to seek Him first. So like I said, He is not mad at you. And at the same time, He wants you to seek Him so that you can let go of all of these ruminating thoughts. You can let go of the worries. You can let go of the overthinking. And you can give it to God. Because He did not die for no reason and be born again for no reason. Ultimately, nothing in this world can separate you from that. And this is just that reminder. So when I get into these thoughts of, is God mad at me? It doesn't actually do anything productive for anyone, especially myself, because then I feel feared into reading my Bible instead of being called to do so. You see what I mean? You see the difference where the fear, that anxiety, the stress, the guilt, the shame, right? Those are all feelings of the world. Those are evil feelings. There's a difference between feeling guilt and then feeling conviction. I know that I feel convicted about something when it comes in love. Because conviction comes from the Lord. And it's loving. I don't feel bad. I feel bad in the sense of, oh, okay, I did that, or I shouldn't have said that, or I should have, whatever, right? Or I'm not doing what I need to be doing, right? I do feel bad. But it's not in the same way. Because I know that He loves me so deeply that He's just I don't think of conviction as like a punishment. I think of it as a nudge. Just like a little poke in the back, a poke on the shoulder to be like, hey, I'm still here. Hey, get back into it. Hey, get back into your word. Get back into your worship. Get back into creating. Get back into praying with me and praying to me, speaking to me. Hey. It's not a guilt or shameful feeling at all. Because the Lord doesn't. He just doesn't do that. He's a kind person. He's a kind being. I forget how warm the Lord is until I do decide to come back home. I do think I should be reading my Bible even when I don't feel like it. But I wouldn't necessarily think God is upset if I didn't. He knows our hearts. I think that fear we feel isn't from God. Conviction for me is pure. Because it's a conviction I can be secure in and ask questions in, be loved in, not condemned. Not condemned. At the end of the day, God just wants your heart and He sees you. He does, but we all know a relationship, you know, is necessary to grow your faith, grow your spiritual discernment, your spiritual maturity. Yeah. A relationship is two-sided. We all know that. Well, not all of us. Oh, It's actually you. That's for another episode. Anyway, seriously though, God wants to be wanted. So no one's not like, no, he's not going to be mad at you that, you know, whatever, but he will nudge you and guide you. And he'll remind you that he's ultimately the one in control. And you need to release that control. Whatever you are worried about, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're pondering on, and just let it go. It's up to you to decide. Up to you to decide if you're going to listen, though, and act. I'm going to say this one thought, but I'm going to save the in-depth part of it for a different episode. But I told someone the other day that you can't ask God for spiritual discernment and spiritual maturity, and then he gives it to you, and then you ignore it, because that's spiritual disobedience. You can't have both. If you're not ready to hear from the Lord, if you're not ready to hear from the Lord and then act on what he says, then don't ask for spiritual discernment. You're not ready. And that's okay. That's fine. But you have to be honest with yourself, because if you go into a cycle of knowing what God is saying to you and you're ignoring it, then you're only hurting yourself. You're only going to be hurting yourself. But back to what I was trying to say. When you get into those ruminating thoughts and you give it to God, the second you give it to God, baby, you got to let that go. Like, letting it go. I'm talking to myself here, because, man, I would be like, God, please take this away. This is what I'm trying to say about the whole hearing from him and then not doing the thing. I'll be like, God, please take this from me. If this person's not supposed to be in my life, please take them out while still gripping tightly. God, it's like God is holding a stick, right? He's holding one end of the stick, I'm holding the other, like tug of war, right? I said, God, give it. I don't want this anymore. Let this go. I don't want this stick. Take it, right? He's pulling on the stick like tug of war. He said, give it to me. And I'm holding on tightly. I'm still holding on to the stick. Why at the end of the day, I'm still holding on to the stick? When all you got to do is let go. And guess who has it now? God. And when he has it, if you do have the strength to fully let go, you have to never think about that again. You have to completely surrender and not worry about that. I am not going to give something up to the Lord and continue to worry, because then I just told God, I don't trust you. I don't trust you. I don't believe that you can provide for me. I don't believe that you are going to do it in the way that I want you to do it. I don't want you to do it in the way that I want. I don't want you to do it in the way that I want. Does that make sense? Because it's God's will. I struggle so badly being like, how do I pray and ask God for things without doing it in a selfish way? Like, how do we go about that? That has always blown my mind. I'm like, how do I pray without being selfish, and with my own desire, you know? I'm pulling up this one verse. James 4. James is my favorite book of the Bible right now. Or maybe in all time. I love it so much. I think it's such a beautiful, very clear rule book of the Bible. I love it. But it comes in love, right? It's a good conviction book. James 4. What verse is this? 2. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Crazy. Well, God, what do I do then? How do I ask without selfish motive? Help me. That's all you have to do. You have to ask God, please help me. Tell me to let it go. Help me to release the grip on this. Whatever this is for you. Just help me to let it go. Because we can't trust our own flesh, our own desire. We can't do it. It's fleeting. Feelings are fleeting. Our flesh is weak. And ultimately, it's in God's will. It's his will. It's his way. It's his control. And when you finally let that go and you realize that, it's actually very comforting. That's when peace comes from the storm. When you know that you don't actually have to be the one to figure it out. It's not up to you. You know, but it's hard. It's hard. But God will bring it back to you if it's for you. And you know that. You know that. So now it's just time for you to trust that. And I'm not yet in a season of full trust either. So I'm not speaking from some holy place either myself. It's a journey. Definitely. But just don't forget, God is with you on this journey. And how beautiful and exciting that is to know that you have the most powerful Father by your side during your worst days and your best ones to come. God is so good. I'm going to finish off in prayer here. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for just bringing us together, allowing us to dwell in your presence. And we thank you for being here with us at all times of our day, in the nighttime, in our worst times, and our best times. We thank you for taking our burdens and, you know, holding them captive. We thank you for blessing us. Even in the times when we don't think we deserve it, God, you're always still there behind that door that we just have to open. I pray for the person or people listening that are desiring that spiritual discernment and have not received that yet. Or maybe they have and they're just too scared to fully let go of that control. God, just help them. Give them this overwhelming sense of peace, a peace that surpasses our understanding, our human understanding, to let them know that you're there and that everything is going to be okay because you have a handle on it. So I thank you for being the all-powerful God that you are and the perfect, bestest friend that we could ever ask for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Bye, guys. See you next episode.